6:45. And if you normally don't come on a Thursday, please join us for a free meal. Stick around for what we're going to go over on Thursday there, and we'd look forward to having you. Luke chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 11, and we'll read these responsively. I'll read the odd verses, and you'll read along with me the even verses. Luke chapter number 5, 1 through 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and followed him. Father, we're thankful for church this morning. We anticipate you speaking to us from the Word of God. We appreciate this passage and what we're able to see already. We pray that you would help Pastor Myers as he preaches to us. I pray that we would have our hearts softened so we can receive the message. Be with the needs that are represented in this room, dear God. We love you. Thank you for church. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
My hunger to behold. my soul, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you, to feel your heart and know your mind. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you more. Oh, I want to know you, and I would give my final breath to know you in your death and resurrection. Oh, I want to know you, to know you more. Oh, I want to know you more. Oh, Lord, I want to know.
Thank you. Brother Chim read this scripture a while ago. I know we're a little bit later. We have things with the building. And you know what, brother? I completely blew through that testimony on the video. I'm sorry. We'll show that tonight. We for a few weeks we're talking a little bit about our Standing Together campaign. The messages are not strictly about giving, but I think at the end we'll be able to apply it to that, although really it applies to much more. You ever notice in life that people are looking for shortcuts? Okay. That's why the get rich quick schemes. How many have ever got the email from the lady who's married to a rich Muslim man, and he got cancer and he's dying, and she wants to give $11 million to you? How many of you have ever got that one? Back in the day when that first came out, I don't know, I had the church email address. I don't know how they got that, but I would get about 10 or 15 of those a week. And I'm like, wow, there are a lot of rich Muslim men dying. Maybe the wives are poisoning them. I'm not sure. But people, you know, you see the advertisements. Look, make $4,000 a week working 4 hours. I'm in. I'm in on that, right? That's how we are. We want something, but we want to take a shortcut. Think about you guys when you build something. We hate to look at instructions. Now, if you buy something from IKEA, they used to be in like 6 different languages, none of them which are English. Now they just give you pictures. It's like you can't even explain what to do. I have to figure out the pictures, hieroglyphics. But we like to take the shortest route, thinking we get the biggest profit. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. People are afraid to give 100%. We're afraid of commitment. I was driving somewhere and I had I had the radio on. It was some sports program and they were interviewing a football player. His name was Tony Gonzalez. He's a tight end. He played for a long, long time, which is unusual in football because in football they get beat. The average career is probably 4 or 5 years. He played forever. But I got interested because they were asking him about commitment. And they asked him, they said, you have a heavy workout schedule, you're committed to this, you ate right, you did everything you could. He goes, what percentage of football players did you see that actually did that? It was very low. He said, maybe 15%. People getting paid millions of dollars to do something dumb like that, and they can't even put the effort in? But isn't that how it is in life? We want the most while giving the least, and that doesn't work. Reminds me a lot of Christianity today. Everybody wants the maximum that God has to offer. We read the promises of God, we read about the blessings of God, and yet we want all of that, but we don't want to put the effort that it takes to get it. We want the product, but we want to skip out on the process. That doesn't work. In our story this morning, Jesus is preaching at the Lake of Gennesaret. There's a group of people there. The crowd flows in and gets so heavy, he sees the boats there and he gets in one of the boats. Peter, hey, let me get in your boat. Just launch a little from the shore. Take me out a little ways, kind of as a platform. I'll back out a little bit and then I'll be able to see and I'll be able to preach to the crowd. Well, he does that. almost as a way of thanking Peter, or not thanking him, I guess that we would think of that in human terms. He also is trying to deal with Peter. He tells him, he goes, hey, you know, why don't you take your boat out, launch out there, throw down your nets, and you're going to get a lot of fish. Go do it. Peter, never one to shy away from how he really feels, said, you know, we did this all night. We caught nothing. He goes, but because you said it, you know, what else is he going to say? He just heard Jesus preach. It must have touched him a little. But at your word, I'm going to go out and I'm going to drop a net. Well, he does. Guess what happens? He brings in a lot of fish. Problem was, his net was not equipped to bring in all of the fish. You see, Jesus told him to drop all of his nets. But Peter thought, I'm only going to drop one. We call that incomplete obedience. Notice the progression. Jesus wants him. First he said, go out a little bit in your ship. Then later on he said, launch out into the deep and now let down your nets. Farther, more commitment is being required. But yet, he didn't follow him all of the way. I have found that the majority of us as Christians are the exact same way. We will obey Jesus a little. We'll try to follow him so we can get kind of what he's offering, but we're only going to do it partially. The question I want to ask you this morning is this: are you holding back? Are you like Peter when Jesus said, take all the nets, go out, throw them out, and I'm going to load you up? But he's like, I'm only going to do one. So you have to understand, they had worked all night. And after they worked, the fishermen, they bring their nets in. There's a lot of careful cleaning and repairing that needs to be done to prepare them for the next time. There was a lot of effort involved. And they had already done that. And so in order for them to throw it all out there, it was going to take a little bit of effort. And they're like, I don't want to do that, but I don't want to completely disobey them. I'll throw a net out. But what God had designed for them to catch, throwing one net out wasn't going to cut it. And that's how it is in our lives today. Obeying Jesus just a little doesn't work. What were some of the results that we see in the verses of Peter holding back? Some of the results we see that happen because we are half-hearted. The thought I want you to get as I'm going through this, don't hold back. First of all, I want you to see he was blocked by the past. Look at verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. You see, Peter felt he had good reason for not casting out the nets. After all, he was a fisherman by trade. He had just had a bad night. He also knew that the place that Jesus was sending them and the time of day he was sending him were not optimal for catching fish. So Peter was drawing on the past, and that is what he used to help filter his decision in the present. All of the facts from Peter's past made him feel that casting all of the nets was unnecessary. He may have been thinking, why pull them all out when we're not going to catch anything anyhow? I'll kind of appease Jesus. Now let me ask you about this. What is it about your past that keeps you from going wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ? You say, well, you know, I just had this upbringing. It just wasn't the best. You hear people say sometimes, I'm from a dysfunctional family. Get in line. Okay? You know, and I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so therefore, it's okay. It's just a little harder for me to fall. It's funny. Here's two types of kids. Some, they come to the Lord a little later in life. It's like, well, you know, it's harder for me, and I got a little more grace, and I don't have to really get in on it because, after all, I didn't have a Christian upbringing. And then you have the kids over here. Well, come on, I know all this stuff. I have the Christian upbringing. I don't have to do all those things. It's like, where is the excuse not going to lie? No matter what situation of life you came from, you can always find an excuse. I know all kinds of people that serve the Lord. I know some who had rotten lives before they met Christ, and I know some that have been in church since before they were born. It doesn't matter. Now, if I would have chosen, I would have chosen for my life to be in church from day one. That didn't happen. But it doesn't matter. Quit finding excuses because of what's happened in your past or what's been going on to keep you from serving the Lord. Well, you know, I went to another church and I got burned. Well, let me explain something to you. Jesus didn't burn you. And I know this. I was at a church and our pastor ran off with the secretary. Okay, Jesus didn't run off with anybody. But we're always looking for something, and Satan will always, well, I was in a church and they were mean. Okay. They were too nice. Okay. They were this, they were that, they were the other. Quit finding excuses. Someone mistreated me. Okay. And sometimes we feel like God just hasn't done what we want him to do. By the way, aren't you glad God doesn't follow us? We follow him. My wife one time jokingly said, you know, we would never have disagreements if you just always did what I said. I thought that's pretty good, but let's flip it. Of course, you know, listen, let God be God. I don't know what happened in your past, but I know this. I know it can happen in your future. Don't let the past block you. Peter struggled with that. Secondly, we see he was broken by the plan. Look at verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Amen. Hold on. And their net break. Huh. In other words, the net couldn't handle it. There it all was. Oh, man. You know what he was thinking? I wish we had another net. You did. They're all on the shore. Okay. Any plan that includes not giving your all is a bad plan. Okay. Let's just make it real easy there. You know, here's my plan for serving God. I'll just come to church on Sunday morning. Bad plan. Okay. That's not a good plan. I know some of you are new and I'm getting on you, but we need more church, not less. And it's not just church. You can come to church until you could come to church every day of the week when we're not even here, and that's not going to help you. What about your relationship with God? The Bible we carry to church. And by the way, I encourage you very strongly, if you're new, bring a Bible with you to church. Okay? Look at the verses when we talk. Read it together with Brother Chim. We do that because the Bible tells us we ought to have reading of scriptures together. But have one. But we got to get in it more than just on Sunday morning. You know, we have it's a cafeteria mentality. You know, they used to have what was the cafeteria over on Atlantic? It closed. Arnold, it was good. Now, every time I went there, it was a bunch of old folks, and I'm like, I'm not old. Jerry's old, not me. And you just go there, it's like, all right, they had all the, what entree do you want? I want that one. Okay, boom, one out. What side orders do you want? They had a bunch, I picked three. Okay, what soup do you want? And then we got to the, what kind of bread do you want? Shepherd's. They had shepherd's bread. That was from heaven. I have no idea why that place closed. Pray for them. But you picked what you wanted, and you did not take what you did not want. You know, we do that with our Bibles. Okay, here we go. I used to carry my tray at Arnold's. So now I'm going to carry my Bible. Okay. That one's okay. Oh, not that one. Oh, no, not that one. Listen, we don't have that choice. If you say, what am I supposed to do? Let me make it very easy. If it's within the covers of that book, we're supposed to do it. It's not a suggestion. But what we want to do is we want to kind of just pick and choose. Now, look, if you are picking and choosing what you have for lunch, okay. It doesn't work in Christianity. His plan was, I wanted to do it. You know, people come, you know, I tried that church thing and it didn't work. You're not supposed to try it. Well, I tried that Christianity thing and it just didn't work for me. You're not supposed to try it. That's like saying, I tried that marriage thing and it didn't work for me. You're not supposed to try it. You're supposed to be committed to it. And it'll never work. Nothing ever works if 100% is not given. Think it won't work in your marriage. Well, I'm halfway in as long as she's okay. Listen, there are going to be times she's not okay. Seriously, Raul, you said that publicly? Someone's not getting lunch and they're sleeping on the couch. Okay? By the way, mister, there are times you're a little bit cratchety. You want grace when you're cratchety, but when she's cratchety, you don't want to give grace. Yeah, this isn't a marriage class. We'll move on. The thing is, by the way, let me say this, and I don't know. That's why living together is not only sin, because the Bible says it is, it doesn't work. When you live together, what you're doing is you're taking out that one ingredient that even gives you the chance for that marriage to be successful, that relationship to be successful. Commitment. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. It's not Jesus paid it some, a little bit to him I owe. No, I owe him everything. And he asked for commitment. I don't think he's being over the top to ask for commitment. Bad plan. Doesn't work in your family. Doesn't work in your career. And it won't work in every area of life. And I've got to hurry. Number three, he was bolstered by his partners. Look at verse 7. So he gets this thing. He should have had enough nets to pull it all in, but he didn't. He didn't plan on bringing enough. He held out. He only took a little. So what happened? And he beckoned unto his partners, which were there in the other ship, that they could come and help them. He goes, I need your help. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with getting help, but here's where it gets wrong. We settle for the help of others because we're not willing to trust God 100%. We have to be propped up by somebody else or something else because we simply will not trust God 100%. And by the way, I am all for helping each other. That's a biblical principle. Okay? When he tells us in Hebrews we're supposed to come to church, it's so we can encourage and exhort one another. That's part of it. And I'm all for it. And if you need help, come get it. But the point I'm making, so often we have to come from help when we shouldn't be coming from help for help, is because we're not obeying the Lord 100%. People come in sometimes, not recently, so if you came to see me, I'm not talking about you. But people come in sometimes, I want help with this situation. It's like, why are you doing that? Well, no. Well, that's the problem. Years ago when I first started counseling, I was counseling a couple. This is when Pastor Esposito here. They were like, we're counseling. I just started a couple's class. They had issue after issue after issue, and we're meeting every week. And I'm like, listen, if you're not willing to read your Bible, be faithful to church and pray, I'm not meeting with you anymore. Because I can't help you. You're taking out one of those key ingredients, or really the ingredient, and you think I'll just open my office drawer and I have spoofle dust and like, here, new wife, new husband. And they're thinking, I'll take a new one. No, there is no spoofle dust. And we want to trust in somebody to do something that only God can do because we're not willing. We're not willing to just go all in. I'm struggling with my kids and my family, and yet you're making bad decisions because you're not following God's plan. Okay? Follow God's plan. Let's be all in. Number four, he was burdened by the pressure. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. I mean, you got both of them, and now they're going down the load, down. That's what happens sometimes. If we don't follow God right, 100%, we still face a lot of the wrong kind of pressures we're not supposed to face. But I'm going to church, but it's more than going to church. Okay? You know, it's not like a car wash. We drive through once a week and it's all good. We need God every day. We need God every minute of every day. We need to follow him all the time. But we don't do that, and so we're faced with these pressures that come that we should not have. By the way, life does have pressure, don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you what, when you are doing your best to obey God to your best, the pressures that come, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. But if the pressures you come because of your lack of complete obedience, you got a different animal there. Because God's going to say, well, how do I deal with that pressure? Start obeying. Let's get back on that right track. Let's do our best. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but it's like, I'm trying to serve you, Lord. Okay, do what you're supposed to do and serve. And those kind of pressures you can deal with. But too often, our problems are self-inflicted. And that's where we want to be very careful. We think we can be semi-obedient and we don't have the problems that those who aren't obedient have. No, God wants complete obedience. Think of this. Remember King Saul. Go kill all the Amalekites and don't take anything. Saul goes and kills most of them. He keeps the king. He keeps the cattle and the sheep. And he was supposed to get rid of that. He was supposed to eradicate all of it. And he comes back and Saul's like, Samuel. Samuel says, how'd it go? He goes, oh, it's good. We did everything God said. And it's almost like God pinched the sheep right at that time. Meh. Is that a sheep? Moo. Whatever a sheep does. Okay. Ouch. And so Samuel's like, what was that? Oh, you know, he started making excuses. God, but you know what he said? Listen, you didn't obey. Why obeyed all? No, you didn't. You did what you felt like doing. You only did the half that you agreed with. And he says, the kingdom's done. It would have continued, but you're done. I'm yanking that thing from you. It's over. Then he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. But he did obey. No, he didn't, because he didn't obey all the way. Think of the Laodicean church in Revelation. They weren't hot for the Lord, but they weren't cold. Yeah, Jesus said, you make me sick. See, all. Number five, he was beset by pride. Now, I like this. He starts to get it. And when Simon Peter saw it, all that was going on, he realized what happened. He fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I like his confession here. Now, Peter just told you what he thought. And so often he got it, and other times he didn't get it. He got it here. He didn't say, Lord, oh, I should have listened to you and put all the nets out. He said, I'm a sinful man. See, Peter didn't just look at what he didn't do, throw all the nets out. Peter didn't excuse himself by what he did do, throwing a net out. Peter saw inwardly, and he saw the issue, and the issue was him. Did you get that? Yeah. And he said, you know what? I'm sinful. Peter's looking at everything inside which caused him to only throw one net down. See, we like to look at the superficial things. I didn't do it completely. The next time I'll do better. Doesn't work. Peter said, I'm sinful because of my attitudes, why I didn't throw it in. Listen, you'll never get help and you'll never change and you'll never completely follow the Lord unless you're willing to confess that in your life, which is wrong. You come to God and say, you know what? I'm just wrong here. That was sin. That was wrong. And I don't like it. And by the way, when I sin, I don't like it either. When there's things in my life and my heart I know that's right, I don't like it. And that's a good thing. Pride. We all think we know what's best, sometimes even more than the Lord. Number six, he was bewildered by the provision. Look at verse 9. For he was astonished. What? Why? And all that were with him at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. He was shocked. Now the word there, they used a drought of fishes. What did Jesus say? Cast down your nets. You're going to get a drought of fishes. So Jesus was lying to him? He was shocked that what God said actually happened. I don't get that. Now, I get it, because sometimes we are. What, they had the prayer meeting for Peter to get Peter out of prison? And Peter knocks on the door, and they're like, that's a ghost. He's in prison. Like, they're praying for him to get out, and he's at the front door. That's how we are sometimes. But that's a lack of faith. That's why he didn't throw all the nets down. He really didn't believe it was going to happen. Now, let me tell you something really, really, really profound. You'll never find out unless you do it. God says this is going to happen. I don't know if I can believe that. You're not going to find out until you do it. Now, this isn't a message on giving, but the Bible tells us when we tithe and when we give, God blesses us. God says, put me to the test, try me, and see if I don't bless you. And it's like, I just don't see how that can be true. And you never will until you actually do it. Well, God says that if I follow him, I'll not only have life from salvation, I can have the abundant life. Is it really better to follow Jesus than to live mine own way? You'll never find out until you actually do it. He should not have been surprised. And I know God surprises us sometimes because we do things and we have that faith, but it's almost like, I believe, but help thou my, but we have enough faith to do it. And we might be surprised when God comes through, but we should never be shocked when God comes through. I guess that's a good way to put it. It's like, I kind of believed he was going to do it, and wow, he did it. But don't be shocked, because God is still God. And then lastly, and I like this, it's all said and done. Jesus is going to reel him in now. He was beckoned by a purpose. Look at verse 10. And so was also James, John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. They were all shocked at it. But Simon was out at the front edge, so we're talking about him. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. That's encouraging. By the way, whenever you come to the Lord and say, man, I really didn't believe you. I haven't been doing the right thing. I'm a sinful man. He doesn't say, I know. You ever do something and it's like, told you so. Do you know that's not encouraging? Not at all. But when you come to him and say, he says, that's where I want you to be. Don't worry about it. Don't fear not. You got it. Now we're going to move on. Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, did the guys understand their mistakes? Well, let's see. Look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They got it. This was not, now Peter still made mistakes in his life, okay? But he got it. He said, I'm not missing out on this one. He said, you catch the fish, I didn't obey him, I didn't get the mess, I got it now. He says I can catch men. He says he has a purpose for my life. I'm giving up everything, I'm trusting him, let's go. And by the way, he did. And he ended up one day giving his life for that. He had a purpose. Jesus didn't give up on him. See, one of the reasons we don't follow God, we're not all in and we hold back, is because we don't believe that God's purposes for our life are better than our own. Let me say that again. We don't believe that God's purposes for our life are better than our own. I've got my life mapped out. Burn the map and let God remap it. Amen. We say this in here. Everyone that graduates from our school ought to go to Bible college at least 1 year. Oh, but I've already got my plan. I want to be a lawyer. Listen, you ain't going to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. I've seen your grades. Okay? You can't even pass math. Now, by the way, if God doesn't want you to do something, he'll make it clear to you, but you ought to give God that opportunity. You ought to give God that year at least to say, Lord, I want to really find out what you want. You know why you won't do that? Because you're afraid. Yep, exactly. Never be afraid of what God has for you. It's the best thing you can ever get. Look, I love my kids, most of them. There's a couple of them I'm on the edge. Do you know what I want for them? To move out. Just kidding. Kind of. I want the best for them. I'll wake up and say, what can I do to torture those brats today? You know? No, I want God's, I want the best for them. Now, let me ask you something. God loves you way more than I love my kids. Don't you think he wants what's best for you? Don't you think he has a purpose for your life? You'll never find it unless you're just willing to say, listen, Lord, I'm in. I'm going to follow you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he. It's a daily thing. Say, where am I going to be 10 years from now? You'll be older, I know that. If you follow God every day, you'll be exactly where he wants you to be. And it'll be good. It'll be good. But we have to trust him enough. Question is this morning, are you holding back? Are you holding back? Now we're done. We're going to pray in a minute. With a building, I just want to give a simple application of this to the building and we'll move on. Listen, find out what God wants you to do in relation to the building and do it. That's all I'm asking you to do. If all of us do what we're supposed to do, we'll be okay. We struggle if people hold back. I want to find out what God wants me to do. I threw an initial number out there, and I know it's going to be more now. I just want to do what God wants me to do. Amen. But I don't just want that in Offering Sunday. I want that in my life. Don't hold back. Find what God wants you to do and just say, you know what? He loves me. He knows what's best for me. It's going to be good for me. I'm in. I don't regret a minute of it in my life, and I know you won't regret it either. Let's stand together.